following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Hey, buddy.
What's up, buddy?
How are you, man?
Doing great. How you doing, dude?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. It's the day before this is coming out, and I'm super excited about this. We love talking to people. We've had so many amazing guests.
We have.
And you know, we've talked about talking to this lady, but we weren't sure if she wanted to sit down with us. We don't know. We don't know what people think of us.
That's true. It doesn't hurt to ask, though.
Well, that's exactly right.
Right.
So we asked, and thankfully she said yes. So
she said yes.
Guys, that's not something that Bradford has experienced a lot. Girls don't say yes to me very often.
Twice they have.
Yeah. Thankfully, the times that I asked, the right people said yes. But guys, we got Jeannie Francis on the show.
This is amazing, dude. And seriously, if you look at the just the impact that Tony Geary and Jeannie Francis have had on daytime,
right?
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, they literally, if there's ripple effects in the timeline of daytime, they probably have the biggest one, and they put General Hospital. I don't want to say they put them on the map, but they made General Hospital an international show at the time. I mean, something like 30 million people watched the wedding.
Right.
I mean, worldwide.
And at the time, it was the highest rated TV occurrence ever. Am I right?
I believe it was at that time. Yeah.
Well,
that's just the impact. We don't really think about it like in today's standards or today's relevancy, but it was such a huge deal. We know just by going on the road with and talking to fans.
Right.
Obviously how much it impacted their lives, and people scheduled their, you know, college classes around General Hospital because of Luke and Laura and all of that. And we know it's part of the culture then and the fabric of people and the tradition and the generation to generation. And it just means so much. And I don't know if there's a real way to even capture it.
To quantify it. Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
So cool to be involved with it, you know?
I mean, obviously there were less shows on at that time, but I don't have a feel for how the populace thought of soap operas in regards to entertainment in general.
Sure.
Right. I don't know, but yeah. I do know that at that point in 1981, that was at the forefront of everyone's consciousness. So, you know, and so
everybody,
I don't know before that if it was as front and center, and if it was, they only amplified it. But
Sure. Gosh,
like, you know, to thinking about our show being at the forefront of like being, can you imagine if, you know, we were This Is Us right now or something like that? Do you know what
sure.
I mean? And
yeah.
But that times 10.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. For sure, because there's so many shows on now, right?
Yeah.
And usually now shows will get their pop for a season or two and then kind of
right. Fade
off into the sunset. And when you have a show that's been on 56 years,
right?
That's why I always try to give credit to the veterans of the show, of the legends of the
Absolutely.
Show. They created a job for us by doing what they did then, which is amazing, and be able to pay it forward and hand it off is an incredible thing. So, I mean, without getting way too much into it, we are just so excited, and she's such an awesome lady.
We were honored.
Yeah,
we get to sit with her in her house, which just to be like, I've talked with her in the past, but not at length for as long as we did and talk about that. You know, like
to
really get to know somebody like that is amazing.
Yeah, and I think that's the coolest thing about what we're doing.
Yeah.
Is you're getting to see a side of people you never do through magazines or social media.
Right?
Right? And that's what it's about for us too.
Absolutely.
Because we get to learn about the person more than we know.
Right.
And then the listeners, the audience gets to see another side of basically of Jeannie Francis that nobody's ever seen, which is, I think, really cool. You know, and her perspective is awesome. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Let it ride, brother.
Well, all right. Without further ado, enjoy, friends. We'll see you on the other side.
So, Steve.
See this? This is what I have to deal with.
Oh, my goodness.
Every week.
We are on
which I love, by the way.
We are on a beautiful couch.
Yes, we are.
In a beautiful part of Los Angeles.
Yes, we are.
And with a beautiful lady.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And now, I don't think we've ever been able to introduce someone as the Honorable Somebody.
Is that a title?
Well, she's the mayor, damn it.
Oh, that's true. You're right. That is true.
We are here with Mayor Laura Spencer, Jeannie Francis.
It's actually Laura Weber now.
Oh shoot. So sorry.
I saw an IMDb. It was Laura Vining Weber.
Yeah.
But it's
Baldwin.
It's
Laura Baldwin.
Was Laura, it Laura Vining Faulkner Weber Baldwin Spencer Cassadine Spencer Collins Weber.
That is amazing.
Wow, that like even the Catholics are like, that's a name.
Is that even on a driver's license? Could you even put that on a driver's license?
Oh my gosh. So but when you came on the show, it was just Laura Bald? What was the Weber?
It was Laura Vining.
Vining Laura was the Vining. Main name.
Yeah, that was her mother, who was not really her mother. Is it that switched at birth? That's what Laura is.
Oh, right. One of those good old switched at birth stories.
Yeah. So before we even get into
the
history of things, poor Jeannie is in the room next to me.
People wouldn't say, your dressing room.
My dressing room, yeah. Right. My dressing room. So I know I'm loud. I know she hears stuff and she's very nice. Doesn't ever say anything at all.
Yeah.
At all. And I know she hears me in there and probably you because we do our podcast.
I come in half there quite
the time
often and
in the dressing room. So
she's
very gracious.
We will never take it personally if we hear a banging on the wall going, "Guys, shut up."
It's funny because I did think that you talked very loud.
Is he doing his lines to himself?
Yeah, I didn't know who you
weirdo.
Were talking to.
what's wrong with this guy?
Why is he talking to himself?
It's amazing because obviously I've been on the show a while. She's been on the show longer than me off and on, but we never really had scenes together.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm 100% sure that the building is bugged because we are in the hallway talking about it.
Right.
And sure enough, 2 months later,
it's happening.
We had some fun.
We had an honest-to-goodness scene.
Yeah, we had a couple scenes, which was amazing.
Yeah, so. No, he said that I don't think it's aired yet, so I'm not sure how much you guys can
say.
No,
it hasn't
right?
aired yet, so we're not going to say anything. But
okay, all right.
We went on a little adventure, which
that's
was,
the
was
thing,
fun.
Adventure. And I mean, if you're known for anything, it's adventures. Yeah. So I'm a little jealous of both of you. That you get to go on an adventure. I'd love to go on an adventure with both
yes,
of you.
Yes, we would love to have you.
Yeah. But every adventure needs some tech support at some point.
You do.
Maybe.
Just as long
yes,
as you wouldn't
absolutely.
Talk that much.
Yeah,
we need
I
to.
Do talk. Yeah.
You talk too much, though.
It's true. he used it's to true. Like that because he didn't like saying his lines. So he just would have that stare.
Well, that's changed.
Yeah. So, but we're here to talk about her.
Yeah, we're here to talk about Jeannie.
So you're from New Jersey, is that right?
I was born in Englewood, New Jersey, but I don't remember it. But we lived there until I was about a year old.
Okay. And so what I'm always fascinated, we're always fascinated by, because everybody knows what we do, but we're fascinated about how people got there and like what was the turning point that led them to where we are doing this career. Mm-hmm. And so like, what was your first introduction to the arts, to performing? Was it something that you started on very early? Was it like, how did you find it or how did it find you?
Oh my goodness. My father was an actor.
Okay.
Actually when we moved to Centerport, when I was a really young child, I remember watching him on soap operas and
really,
yeah. And getting really upset. I think he was on Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows.
It was Edge of Night, something like that. And it was a scene where the building was burning up and I couldn't handle it. I thought he was burning up. And my mom had to whisk me away from the TV and I never watched soap operas again after that until I was about 13 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was a Days fan. I guess as a young child, I was always very impressed with my dad and what he did. And when he would do an appearance on something called Room 222 and we'd be out and about. And I was very young. I think I must've been 8 or something. And people would recognize him.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
You had no idea, did you?
I just thought I have to do this. Yeah. I felt like I had to be famous, which is odd.
Right.
For a little child.
Yeah.
Absolutely felt like I had to. What? And in a weird way, I knew I would be. Like, there was never a question in my mind that it might not happen.
Well, we are a firm believers in women's intuition, so.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Are you?
Well,
yeah.
Because we're both married.
Yeah.
So we know to listen when the woman has an intuition to follow. So, mm-hmm. And I just love the fact that you believe that and it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm a big believer on not just thinking positive, but setting goals and being really confident in your decisions, because I believe that if you have that goal or you see that, you can make it happen. But for a kid, it's so awesome just to be like, hey, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing getting in your way to tell you, no, you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, I just find that fascinating. Was your mom in the business at all?
My mom was a model in New York. My mom's absolutely gorgeous. She looked like Grace Kelly.
Oh, wow.
I mean, stunningly beautiful. And then she and my dad they did a play called JB together, and they toured. They did the national tour together, and that's when she got pregnant with my older brother. And so she really just did that one tour with my dad, and then she stayed home after that and had children. So, and I think she was always very sad about the fact that she didn't come back to her acting career.
Yeah. That's a tough thing. The kind of life that you have as an artist, it's hard to split that time. And I'm sure at that time too, there were less trailblazers too, and it wasn't the expectations for what she should do or something. That it's a different time too, right? I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think when my mom was a stay-at-home mom, it was before the messaging was that women should be able to do absolutely everything.
Sure,
you should be able to have your career and your children
right.
and be a great cook and, you know, have a big social calendar, all this stuff where we're supposed to do everything. I'm here to tell you, you can't.
Yes, you can't.
Yeah. The biggest regret I have in my life is that I didn't just stay home when my kids were really young.
Mm. Yeah, we have young kids, and that time that goes so fast, doesn't it?
So fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually tried to get out of my job at that time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Wendy Rich.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I just really don't want to work anymore. And she kind of got really freaked out by it. And she said, well, what if you just came in two mornings a week? I don't know. Okay, I'll try it. And it ended up being that, which actually caused a lot of resentment among other people in the cast. But because I had asked to leave, and she really didn't want me to. Now, looking back on it, I wish I'd just disappointed her. You know?
Yeah. You have two kids, right?
I have two.
Two.
My son, Jameson, and my daughter, Eliza.
And they're
24 and 21.
24 and 21, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, time flies.
Yeah, it sure does.
It really does. It's crazy.
What is the, do you remember your first performance, like, of any kind? Do you remember, like, when you were a kid, do you remember, was there something that you were like, not just being famous, but like, I like telling stories. I like acting. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember some specific things. I remember doing, I guess, a little dance with my girlfriends for a school play or something like that. And I remember being on stage and seeing that full audience and loving it.
Yeah. Mm.
And I remember my dad, after it was over, he was weeping. And he said, you're going to be a star.
Oh,
that's
man.
Amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And he just wept and wept.
That is so cool.
And it was just a little dance, but I guess, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe
he
saw something. I mean, he had experience.
Right? Yes,
I mean, he had did. The experience to say, not just the fact you're his daughter, but, you know, you can see it in some kids. You go, oh, that kid's got something.
Yeah. And I kept getting pulled out of school for things like the producers come through the school, and I got pulled out of the kids in the school to be on the Dinah Shore show doing a game show. It's like I kept getting...
What kind of school was that where producers came and plucked kids to be on the Dinah Shore show?
Public school in the San Fernando Valley.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
That's so funny because
I don't remember that happening at my school. That's incredibly unique.
No, they were like, we need a mathematician. We're going to go to Bradford School.
Yeah, and in Central New Hampshire.
They go, actors are coming to the Valley,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Wow.
When did you guys come out here? Or where was Dark Shadows out here in Edge of Night? Or was that in New York?
That was all in New York. We were living on Long Island. My dad was coming back and forth on the train. Then he did Splendor in the Grass, and he wanted to come to Los Angeles, and so literally packed up the car and drove us across the country. It took 2 weeks.
I love that.
Wow. It was nuts. It was really nuts.
Was it a fun trip? Like, let's stop and see the Grand Canyon. Let's look at the Mount Rushmore.
How old were you then?
I think I was 6.
Okay, so so obviously you still remember it, but
oh yeah, I remember it well.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was just asking because it getting taken out of either school or friends or
I
just
was
leaving.
Very disappointed about leaving Centerport. Very, very disappointed. I've actually lately had a real craving to go back to Centerport. I've been back once. My husband took me back when I was, I think, about 21 and drove me around. Actually, I couldn't have been 21. We got together when I was 23, but probably I was 24, 25.
Yeah.
And he took me right back to my home on Pier Street.
Wow.
And I just got out and I walked around and there was this lady there and I said, I grew up in this house. She goes, oh, come on in. And I said, really? Okay, great. Went in and of course I remembered everything and I went up the stairs to what was my room.
Yeah.
And I went into this teeny weeny little room and it was like a closet to me. It was so tiny, but in my mind, it was this big room.
Sure, so
and I went over to the window to see if I could see the apple tree in our treehouse, which was there.
Oh my gosh.
And I leaned down and I touched the windowsill to look out. It was a low window. And I got this flash of memory of grabbing the windowsill way up over my head and trying to pull myself up and look out.
Wow.
And it was just like
what
this,
a cool, yeah.
Yeah, like the memory was in the windowsill.
Yeah, windowsill. Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, and then there were people all around that I remembered. And, you know, I remember calling out to some people in the street. And they went, oh, Jeannie, come on over. Have a glass of lemonade. We had, like, this wonderful life there.
Yeah, it sounds pretty ideal.
Yeah.
And then you packed a car and
moved to the Valley.
Moved to the Valley.
We moved to, actually, there's a hotel, the Montecito in Hollywood. We moved to the Montecito. My mother was almost 9 months pregnant and we landed at this not great hotel, one room for all of us. Mm. And my mom came in and she just broke down crying because we had come all this way. She gave up this cute little cottage that we had. And she was, it was awful.
Yeah. No tree house and apple tree at the
awful.
Montecito. Right?
No, but I did get a little cat. They that was the bribe.
I see.
That was the cat. There's always a bribe on a move.
Well, and it's amazing. Yeah. Kids, especially with living scenarios, kids can make anything fun and adventurous, right?
Yes.
And especially if there's a cat, right? Yeah.
Well, my brother and I used to take the do not disturb signs off the doors and slide them back under.
Sweet.
Until we got caught.
That's a fun game.
Yeah.
That sounds like a
I do that at a hotel now. I'm 40.
That sounds fun.
I knock on doors at 2 a.m. and we run away.
That's a great game.
It's stupid.
It's a great game.
So that was Hollywood. You came to, like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the palm trees. We came in down Rodeo Drive. And I remember seeing the palm trees and being so angry. Because all I could think of is, how do you climb that? Yeah. What kind of tree is that? It looks like a Q-tip. I hated those trees.
Oh, that is so funny. No tree house and a palm tree.
No. No tree house. No climbing. Forget it.
I know. It's just a whole nother. Compared to how you grew up in the East Coast and I grew up in the Midwest. You come out here, it's a whole nother.
It's another
just a landscape, just in a whole nother world, you know. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, my dad left Indiana, Ohio because he just wanted to get out of there. And he wanted to, you know, he ended up being a DJ for a while and get into acting a little bit. But, you know, it's those pioneer spirits like your dad had. He's like, we're going. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot of.
Yeah, that's
big.
Brave.
That's to move your family.
He didn't have a job that was starting out here. It was just right. Yeah. So did you get on the Dinah Shore show? Was that, were you one
of the... I was chosen,
yes,
out of the kids to be on the Dinah Shore show. And actually somebody, one of the ladies came over to me, we were in the green room and I was sitting there and other kids went away. She came around to me and she said, you have this amazing aura. So it was this weird thing that people kept noticing something about me.
Sure, yeah.
I, of course, think that why I was successful at that age is because I look quite a bit like Maureen McCormick, who was wildly popular as Marsha Brady.
Right, sure.
And I was sort of like the poor man's Marsha Brady. And I'm like, that's why. That's why they like me.
Yeah, I think she might trade places with you. She's like, I'll be the poor man's Jeannie Francis. How's that? Yeah. Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, and then did that just snowball into more things? Did it kind of just happen naturally? Like, were you always just kind of a foot in the business starting at that young age?
I think my parents... My dad started having me photograph for commercials and stuff when I was probably 9 years old. But I couldn't work because I had really bad teeth and they needed braces and my face didn't match my teeth. Okay. And I wasn't a good commercial sale. So when I straightened my teeth, then I could go to work. And by that point I wanted to work.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I really didn't.
Sure. So even though wanting to be famous at the young age, like, I want to be famous, but I'm not sure I want to work. But that's a good thing for a kid, because it's amazing. Kids in LA, it's very easy to just get roped into the business, but then it is work, mm-hmm. right? So these kids, you know.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. My kids, when we lived down here, they went to preschool in the Valley and some of their friends were working. Mm-hmm. And boy, do they grow up fast when they start working at, you know, in preschool. Like being around adults like that and spending those long hours, mm-hmm. It is work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. Do not put your daughter on the stage. Don't do it. My daughter wanted to go to work when she was 14. She wanted to put herself out there. And I just kept stalling it off and saying, well, you know, we can't go to Maine. We're not going to be able to take summer vacation if we get you an agent. And I just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. By the time she was about 19, she thanked me for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She had a normal childhood.
Right.
Yeah. She has a great education and she went through all her developmental steps with her peer group.
Right.
So.
And that's a big deal.
It's vitally important.
Yes.
Vitally important.
Yeah. It's kind of one of the reasons I tried to move to Tennessee mm-hmm. was to get my kids out of the environment for a little while, because I was here so long. I started when I was basically 15 years old. And so I kind of went to high school, but I was always on the set doing school. And I just, you know, saw how kids were. And I just didn't want my kids to grow up in it or around it that much, which I'm very grateful for the opportunity to do this. But I understand you have to be in it to really know that. And then the fact that you were like, just wait, be patient, just wait. And now, you know, on the other end, she's like, I don't hate you, Mom. I love you. Thank you so much. Well, but
that's a victory, right?
That's a victory in itself. We've had that conversation.
Yeah.
That's a victory in itself, you know, because you have some trying times in the teen years.
Oh, my God.
You know, especially if you move a lot. Like, we've moved every 2 years for the last 10 years.
I can't believe that.
I know. And my kids still like me, which is amazing. I don't know. I bribe them a lot. No, well, I pay them a lot of money.
You're gone a lot, so they just miss you. I'm gone.
Yeah. Now I'm back. Like, wait, who's this guy?
Yeah, he's got great hair. Who is he?
He's had the same hair for 29 years. Who is he?
60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a TrueCar cash offer.
Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions, get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
It's tough in the business, and you kind of grew up in the business, because what time did you get an agent and you were like, okay, I'm going for this now, and you started like really pounding the pavement? Like,
I was 13 and the braces came off and my dad took a school picture of me. By this time I wanted to be an actress. I've been doing, you know, trying to make myself cry in front of the bathroom mirror and, all this stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So he takes a school picture of me to the agent. The agent says, fine, we'll send her out. I auditioned for, you remember Sybil with Sally Fields?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I auditioned for one of her other personalities as a child or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a very big, successful audition as a very young girl, and the people were kind of excited about
me.
Sure,
yeah.
And they said, well, I'm sorry, we can't take you because you're blonde. And, right. So I couldn't do that job, but it kind of got some buzz going in the...
Oh, interesting. Sure.
Amongst the casting directors and just in the business.
Yeah.
Like, who's this new...
Who's this young kid?
Yeah,
right.
Coming up.
Yeah. So, and then the first job I got was called Family with
Sada Thompson. I remember Family.
Do you remember
it? Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was my first job. And that was like right after the Sybil audition. And then... 3 months later, I got General Hospital. So I didn't pound the pavement.
Yeah, that wasn't pounding the pavement. We take it all back.
Yeah,
we take everything. No pounding the pavement. Two auditions, and then you're on General Hospital.
Yeah, that's all right. That works pretty well.
I mean, how was that just perceived? I mean, you were young, so you didn't really know what maybe the perception of soap operas were then or daytime was then compared to a primetime show. Like, you know, when in the early 90s, for me, it was like, oh, you don't want to do a soap. You got to go primetime. That's all anyone ever said.
Right.
And I'm like, why?
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing a soap. Forget it. And I wouldn't audition for him.
Right.
It was stupid. And then General Hospital came. I'm like, I'm just going to go in and audition. And it turned out to be the greatest thing ever.
Well, I would say so.
But it's like, what was there a perception or a stigma of daytime then?
But it was in your family too, though.
It was in my family. My dad had done it. My dad knew Gloria Monty, who was...
of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was familiar with it. And in his mind, it was a good job.
Of course.
I mean, great job.
Exactly. So it was just, it was a fortunate thing to be cast on something like that.
And you said, how old were you when you started?
14
on General Hospital, 13 for Family.
Right. And so did that, you know, the schedule of that with your school, did a lot of kids do that? Or was that...
There was another actor in our class, Lance. I can't remember his last name, but
good actor name.
He did Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. He was young boy in that.
Oh, yeah.
He was in our school, in my class.
Yeah.
But that was it, really. I didn't know anybody else working but me.
Well, now, so you spent a lot of time with tutors, like on set, or did they require that at that time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, the first time I worked, I didn't realize you had to bring your books and all this sort of thing. They really yelled at me. And I came to school unprepared and I don't know.
Well, yeah. Right.
Learn my lines.
I come here so I don't have to go to school.
I'm getting here. I'm here for a job.
Right.
I don't need to learn nothing else but my lines.
Yeah, exactly. So,
were you excited to get out of school? Did it feel like, okay, well, now my life is this? Or were you at school? Did you split your time between school? Like, how often were you on set versus did your life become completely abnormal right away?
Pretty much, yeah. It pretty much did. I worked about, I don't know, maybe 1 to 2 shows a week.
Okay.
Initially. And then quickly they brought me forward. What happened was I started working in... the second semester, January, second semester, I think, around that. And my grades went from straight A's to B's, C's, and one fail.
Oh, what'd you fail at?
Sewing.
What?
Fine.
Give me an F.
Just sew.
Give me an F.
Gosh.
You can't take, your sewing machine, out
you think?
To studio school. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Got an F in sewing.
I failed.
and now that's what I say. F in sewing.
Yeah. F in sewing. That is funny.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And so because my grades dropped so badly in that semester, right away they gave me a studio teacher. And then from then on, I never saw my peer group again.
Right.
Because
you were there year round.
Year round. Yeah. Soap operas are year round, as you know.
Yeah. So you were there. So you, was that Gower?
It was, no. It's the lot we're on now, Prospect and Tallmadge. Then we moved over to Desilu, the old Desilu.
Oh, my gosh.
Then we moved over to Gower.
Oh, gosh. There were two moves before that. Okay.
Yeah. And then back to Prospect.
Wow. See, I didn't know you guys started on Prospect.
Oh yeah, in the original.
In a different building?
Stage 51.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I'll show you when we're at
work. Yeah. That's cool, because they have, you know, they have the picture of the original studio in the commissary.
Uh huh.
So you can show me where it was.
I could. Well, cool. We walked past it on the way to the commissary. Oh. That little building there. I think it might be Grey's Anatomy now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a show I've heard of. Wow. So yeah, I didn't know you were a prospect. Then you went to Gower. That's great. That's cool. I did Days at Gower right after.
Oh, Days wasn't always in Burbank, or
no?
Yeah.
Wait, did you do Days at
Gower? I did Days at Gower too.
You did. I think I was looking at the time frame, and I think we may have been there at the same time, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because I was just there for the summer. I was, it was one of the summer stories with Charlotte Ross.
Yes.
Who played Eve, and Nick, the guy who played Nick. So anyway, I was there for a couple months, but Gower was cool. It was a fun studio to be on.
It is a fun studio. It was cool.
Right in the center of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I've always loved our studio, but it's so low key.
It's so isolated. Yeah.
Like, so when you have auditions on Paramount or something and you go to Paramount, you're like, oh wow, this is where stuff really happens or whatever. But then we have Grey's Anatomy and The Shield, and like we had really cool stuff on our lot besides us. And so our lot was, you know, it's a really lovely lot, but sometimes it does, you feel a little isolated, right? Yeah.
It's a little isolated. I also have so many memories. I mean, the first audition that I went on for the show was there on that lot.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I love those little bungalows where I think Shonda Rhimes was based for a bit. Those little writing bungalows right at the front. Those were always there, right? Those were original probably.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure what you mean.
It's like when you come into the studio and you hang out.
There's little stone steps up to these little bungalows, and it used to be where...
Oh, yes. That's probably where I auditioned. I remember that.
Yeah. It is a little bit old Hollywood. So General Hospital at 14, and then within a mere few years, you're like at the top of the world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so like your goal of being famous,
it happened.
You achieved it pretty quick.
I made it happen, didn't I?
Be careful what you ask for.
Yes, because so true.
You got it.
Yeah.
And did that register, like when that happens to you at 17, what is that? How do you process it? Or is it just normal to you so you don't process? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
The easiest way for me to explain this, is, okay, so if you take a 14-year-old child and you put them in a closed environment like a jar, right? Yeah. And the kid gets fed and plays at whatever and has fun, but isolated inside that jar, no contact with anybody else in the peer group. Then you get to 17 or 18 or 19, you open that jar, the child is still 14.
Mm.
Even though your body's grown to 17 or 18 or 19, you have been deprived of some really important information and growing experiences with your peer group. So, yes, everything went over my head.
For better or for worse, right?
probably some of it for better. And, you know, I mean, I was just so busy working all the time that I didn't think or understand what was going on outside.
Right.
You know, when people tell me that they were having parties when Luke and Laura got married.
Sure.
Yeah. At dorms and stuff. And I get sad. I think, I wish I was there.
I want to be in a dorm.
That sounds fun.
I want to schedule my whole schedule around one show.
I want to hang out with, you know, people my own age.
The dorm people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the magnitude of what Luke and Laura was at that time, did you really comprehend? Did you get it? Did you understand? I mean,
no, I didn't. I didn't get it.
Did it reach you in L.A.? Where was it? Like, how was your fame? Because fame in L.A. is different than fame elsewhere, right?
Uh huh. Sure.
How present was your fame in your daily life?
Well, I noticed that people would walking down the street that people would stop or rubberneck and from cars even. So I knew that. I knew I was famous.
Yeah.
I knew it was starting to happen.
Yeah.
I definitely knew that. Even riding my bicycle around at 15 and 16, people would point and stuff like that. So I knew it was happening.
But it wasn't, it didn't, did it affect your life in a way that was negative or anything, or was it still kind of a novelty to you at that age? Did it ever, because I mean, there wasn't TMZ at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, did it ever, did your fame ever encroach on your life in a sense at that age?
Yes.
It did. Okay. Yeah.
It did. Yeah. The hardest part for me was that, I mean, I was having a great time. I was sure. enjoying proving myself as an actress and being successful and being brought forward on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are three kids in my family. I have an older brother, I have a younger brother. And I know my mom was very sensitive to not talking too much about what I was doing.
Yeah.
So that it wouldn't make them yeah. feel bad.
Were they interested in the business at all? Or
my older brother was kind of interested. Yeah, yeah, he was. But he had a bad scar on his chin from a fall in early childhood. And so that kind of got in his way.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But it was very hard for me to, I almost felt guilty mm-hmm. that yeah. I was doing well
yeah.
and that I was famous. And so I'd be out in the world and working really hard and I'd come home and pretend none of it happened.
And play it down yeah. just for their benefit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, that's, it's two different lives.
Yeah.
I mean, you're out there and like, just because of the magnitude of Luke and Laura and the TV guide and the, just everything that went along with that. And I can't even imagine because, I mean, it was so different then, mm-hmm. you know, General Hospital was, that was the show. That was, and Days. I mean, there were a few, but those were the shows. And what you guys, what you and Tony were able to do is never been done before, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing.
It is kind of an amazing thing.
It's an amazing thing that you guys, first of all, both fantastic people and actors and actresses, but it's like you guys caught something in a bottle that nobody else ever has, you know, and it's true. And it's just whatever the timing was or the writing, you guys, Gloria, whatever it was, mm-hmm. it was something that nobody's ever seen before, mm-hmm. which is, it gives me chills talking about it because it's such a cool thing being able to be on the show and know that you guys did that. And you know, I hear about it all the time from Ken, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Yes. How he came back with you and saved the show. So, all the time.
He's so funny.
He's just like, you know, we came back. It was me and Jeannie on the cover of TV Guide. We're the ones who did this for you. You know, he's so funny. But it's just so cool to, I can't even imagine the magnitude of it. Obviously, I'm out there a lot. I see fans, four generations of fans come. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a huge part of their life. And I don't even, their kids and grandkids don't know. Like the OG fans
yeah.
who were there to experience Luke and Laura's adventure and, yeah. and wedding and everything. It's such a cool thing to be like that generation to be able to experience that. Mm-hmm. But to go from, for you to go from that to then balancing your personal life and being so aware of your brothers and that whole family dynamic, it's just a whole nother.
Yeah, becoming the person that you're going to be that during those formative years in the midst of all that is something really unique.
It's strange. There's nothing normal about my life.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah,
but it was also very exciting, and I think part of the reason the show took off the way it did was because Gloria had a vision, and she came on the show. We were 45 minutes. She said, when we go to an hour, there was like a week or 2 weeks of episodes that were 1 hour long. And she came on the show and she threw them all out. Then she had a hurricane and killed a bunch of cast, whoever she didn't like.
God, wow. those St. Lawrence Seaway hurricanes.
Yeah. Man,
it's crazy.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So she knew right away
yeah.
that she used to say to us that we were pioneers in daytime.
Yeah.
And we were.
We
and
were.
So it was unbelievably exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I remember me and Tony one night, I was underage, so I had to be out by 6, right?
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah. And so she raced to get all of our scenes done. It was 6, and then we finished, and it was 6:30, 6:45. 7 And she came over, she said, what are you still doing here? I got you out. And we just said, we just don't want to go home.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Nothing was better than being there.
You could tell that you were a part of something special at that.
Oh God. Yeah. Yes. Even yeah. at that very young age, I knew that I was
so cool.
involved in something super special, super exciting.
Yeah.
yeah, it was an amazing, amazing ride.
Yeah.
And then you left. It was so amazing. Less than a year later, you're out of there.
Wasn't really a year later. Was it? I don't know.
What,
we
well,
the, did two the, years on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, how I left is, I've talked about it a lot.
You
it's
don't have
painful,
to talk about it. If you don't.
It's super painful.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do something different.
Right.
You know, and explore and be an artist and just get out there and grow. And, you know, and it sounds like a lot of what you look back upon is some time that you may have lost, or that TV kind of takes from you without it meaning to take away from your childhood and how you grew up. So, you know, spreading your wings isn't a bad thing, because you left and you did like IMDb beater. There's about 5 billion. It was like next page, next page. It was like all these things. I'm like, holy crap. I had no idea you did all that stuff, which is amazing. I mean, you did some really cool things.
Yeah, I really never stopped working.
When you left, you were doing movies and North and South and all these guest spots. And it was just like, wow, that is crazy.
Tweet of the week. All
tweet
right.
Of the week.
So that was part one of Jeannie
that was
Francis.
Part one, baby.
Spoiler alert, there's going to be a part two.
Yes,
woo!
I love part two.
So we got through the first part, her first in at GH. We talked about, and we started to get into what she did next. And so we'll get into more of that. We'll talk about the wonderful broadcast television landscape of the 1980s. We'll talk about her relocation to New England next week. A lot more to get to. So
part
be sure.
Two.
Part two.
Part
so,
two.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, if it's just you and me, it would just be part duh.
It's perfect for us.
Yeah, right.
We got, you know, our listeners are a lot smarter than we are, so we have to do part two.
Part two.
Part two coming soon. Check it out.
Yeah,
it
so there's
awesome
a lot more stuff to get to. But speaking of stuff to get to, we have a tweet and a question. The tweet this week, again, is in reaction to one of our boss's tweets.
Again. always.
Amazing. Amazing. So the tweet from Mr. Valentini was, Sam slaps Jason. What? And there were a litany of responses from this.
I'm sure.
First one says, it's an on repeat all day. We even have a gift for it. Enjoy. They're watching you get slapped over and over all day. I'm sure ratings will be at an all-time high for that one.
Oh, gosh.
I'm definitely here for that. Real or staged, it will be the scene of the year. I could watch that slap 24/7. Can she do it a second time?
Gosh.
Why couldn't she have knocked him out instead? Pow!
Wow, it keeps going.
I hope she used hand sanitizer after.
Make sure she didn't get that spray tan on her hand.
Yeah, right? Oh, all of a sudden, she's like, there's orange handprints all over the hospital. What happened? Oh,
it's huge.
Sam slapped Jason.
It's huge. Yeah, it's so funny, dude, because people are like, was that a real slap? And no, it was not.
It was not. It looked good because I watched it on all these people's timelines that
it looked good.
had screenshot it and was celebrating it.
It was very close, but I felt the wind, but I did not feel the hand.
Well, she's got very delicate, tiny hands. Yeah. So
some people like to be slapped for the authenticity of the scene.
Oh, I thought you just meant in general some people like to be slapped. And I thought there's
a group on the internet somewhere who likes to be slapped. And that's a whole nother dimension. So I don't think we're going to find Spinelli in his chat room. I like to be slapped. I'm not one who necessarily likes to get slapped.
But for the authenticity, some people like to feel it. You're right.
Some people do. Like I think who slapped James Patrick Stewart, he was telling me. Slapped him so freaking hard, dude.
Oh, for real? Did he love it? Was he like,
he's like, he's an artist. He wants to be slapped.
Oh, yeah. That's what, come on. We can say people that are into stagecraft are artists too. People that are good at stage combat, that is an art. Right?
Yes, it is. Actually, it is an art for sure.
Right? So just, you know,
that's actually harder than people think.
Right. It's harder to not hit someone than it is to
hit someone. It is harder. And that's the thing. I've done so many stunt fights and stunts and it, you know, I've become pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Where you get somebody new on the show and they're like, oh, dude, this is going to be great. I know martial arts. And I know, I go, that means I'm getting punched.
I'm getting hit.
That means I'm getting hit right in the face.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you know, those things are pretty choreographed. Well, sometimes really fast and should be a little slower, but, you know, there's a few, when I first came back as patient six, one of the stunt guys did hit me.
Oh, during, gosh.
During the scene. Yeah. So I kept going. I felt it a little bit like my bell was rung a little bit, as they say. And I'm like, oh crap. I'm like in this thing now.
Wow.
So, that was a fun one. And then there was a stunt guy who, it was back in the day when there was a bunch of mob stuff on the show. And this guy was like, he was a stunt guy who actually had a line, right?
Okay, yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things. Tim Davison, who does a lot of our stunts, he goes, this is the one thing that I can never find.
A stunt guy that can speak lines?
Stunt guy who can act. He said, Steve, you're great at fights. I would hire you in a second to do fights. And you can act.
It's debatable, sure.
Sure. Both are debatable. But I said, okay, Tim, I'll do it. And Frank was like, you're not going to be a stunt guy.
Right.
There's no fucking way.
GH wouldn't put out an insurance policy on you, I don't think.
No. So we had the stunt. It was like two henchmen. And I had a guy in a headlock around his neck, like a choke. And he said, hey, man, you know, stunt guys love pain.
Sure.
They want the realistic. They want it to be as real as possible.
Well, if they get hurt on the job, they might have a check forever, right?
They could have a check forever, but most guys who get hurt, they don't even say anything.
Oh yeah, because they won't get hired again.
They're like cowboys, dude. That's what they do. They just freaking do walk off into the sunset with a limp. So this guy was like, right before tape, he's like, "Hey, you know, during this, I want you to choke me."
Oh gosh.
I said, "What do you mean?"
Speaking of things that people are into, sure.
yeah, right. I said, there's a website for this. You don't need me to do this during the scene.
It has to be you. It has to be you.
There's no Jason websites where he's choking people. I said, dude, seriously? And this is when I was a little bulkier.
Sure.
Right. I was probably 205 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, I don't know.
Winter Jason.
I don't know. Well, yeah, totally Christmas Jason. So I said, I don't know, dude. He goes, no, seriously, just I want you to choke me. I said, okay, I'm not going to turn down
an opportunity to choke
someone without getting in trouble.
Sure.
So I'm like, all right. And they're like, 5, 4, 3, 2. Dude, I put this guy in a choke hold.
Yeah.
I was like choking him. He's like, you know, he was he couldn't. And then it was his time to say the line.
Which was, stop choking me.
He couldn't say it.
That's what it turned out to be. Yeah.
He couldn't say it. He was like almost tapping my arm like that.
Oh,
okay, that's enough.
Gosh.
And I'm like, oh, well, sorry. What happened? They're like, sir, you got to say your line. He's like, oh, yeah, I couldn't talk. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, dude. But wow. Tim was funny. He's like, I don't care. If the guy wants you to choke him, go ahead. Choke him.
Wow. Yeah. No, I've never had that. See,
I'll choke you later.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'll choke you at our dinner.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Or
that's...
I'll save you choking on crab.
Yeah, I know.
On a crab.
I'm gonna get a scrimp lodged in my throat so you have to save
I'll
me.
Save you.
Resuscitate me. Resuscitate me, Steve.
I will give you the Heimlich.
Clear my airway.
We'll give you the Heimlich.
Fantastic. That'll be great podcast material.
From the front.
All right. Well, thank you for those really thoughtful tweets about Steve getting slapped on screen.
I love it.
Okay, our question today is from Elaine Schaffstall. I think I said that right.
Bless you.
She wants to know, she's wondering, hello there, I'm wondering if GH has bloopers and outtakes that the fans are able to see. With as funny as everyone is there, I can't imagine there not being a few times when you all crack each other up and the director has to yell, cut. So, Elaine, you are correct. There are those times, and in the past, there is a collection of them, but I don't believe it ever gets seen by the public.
That's absolutely untrue, Bradford.
Oh, really,
Anderson?
Oh my goodness,
Breaking news. This just in.
Oh, boy. Look at this.
Breaking news. There is a Christmas blooper reel that they make every year, and they actually put a lot of time into this
reel.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I just never thought people could see it.
Well, they saw it. They were able to see it, I believe, at the GH convention.
Yes.
And at Graceland.
That is a nice tidbit. I remember that. And that is a nice thing for people that are attending those things. You're getting exclusive content.
That's true. Nobody will ever see it unless they're at those two events. And I didn't know they showed them. And then this year at Graceland, like, oh, we're showing the blooper reel. I go, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Because it really does show like a little glimpse of behind the scenes and how much fun we do have and how many times we do mess up and whatever.
Well, and it's so fun when you're seeing someone like – just like Maurice, for in general, when he's in his sunny mode and then all of a sudden it breaks and he's out of it in a second. That is so unique to see. Because,
totally.
I mean, people see Maurice on his Instagram or on his Twitter and they know he can be a silly guy. But when you see an actor in a character that you're so familiar with that might be completely different than the person that they are, it's so fun to see people break out a character in the moment. So Elaine, thank you for that question. And
yeah, Elaine, thank you. It's a good question.
Steve, thank you for bringing that new information into the fold.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So it is tomorrow is Wednesday the 13th. A week from tomorrow, from tomorrow, Thursday the 14th is Thursday the 21st. And that is when we're doing our live podcast recording VIP dinner in Los Angeles. So if you're interested in coming to that, there's a few tickets left. Be sure to hop on those.
Check it out. We're going to have fun. We always have fun at that place too. And with that, I don't know. There's just some events where you just have a lot more fun.
Well, it's really well set up for us to.
Yeah, it's really great because we can go table to table and
we don't have to scream.
No screaming, which is amazing.
And it's a great. We love it. That's why we keep doing it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The great thing about Steve is that if he likes something, he'll do it again. If he doesn't like something, he won't do it again. And truthfully, guys, if we don't have a good time doing stuff, we're not going to do it because it's not worth it to any of us.
Yeah, no, it's not.
We're here to have fun. We're here to have fun with you guys. And, you know, we enjoy this, too. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't have fun. So anyway.
And speaking of more fun.
Yeah.
We have April.
April right around the bend. And we're announcing May, I think.
By the end of this week, some May shows
are already on sale. Some May shows are already.
Philly's selling well. Rockwell's is selling well. I mean, it's crazy, dude. Everything.
I truthfully don't know where we're going the rest of that May tour, so it's going to be exciting for me to see it released.
Well, you know,
I blocked the dates off. I just don't know where we're going.
I believe we're going to.
Yeah, let's not speculate. Let's let it.
Yeah, I'm not speculating at all. I'm not speculating at all. Then. All right.
Well,
that's
all
it.
Of
go,
our
go
dates
to
are at
stonecoldandthejackal.com.
Yes,
and
right.
Check it out.
All of our dates are at stonecoldandthejackal.com. If you click on tour appearances, yeah, man. So we'll be back with part two with Jeannie next week. Week after, we'll have hopefully a live Q&A from our podcast recording in LA, and lots of more fun to be had. Thank you guys for being here with us.
Thank you guys,
and we'll be talking to you wicked soon.
Have a great day.
It's time to celebrate! The Adam Carolla Show just hit its 10-year anniversary, and Adam is kicking it off in style.
Join Adam this week as he welcomes late-night talk legends Jimmy Kimmel on The Adam Carolla Show and Jay Leno on CarCast.
Congratulations, Adam. Download The Adam Carolla Show and CarCast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.